You may have seen the social media meme making the rounds this week in which a cute, pudgy little lamb has fallen into a narrow trench head first. And then a man on the video is seen pulling at the lamb's hind leg to free him. And once setting him free, the lamb, scared, of course, we watch in the video as the poor lamb scrambles a few steps in flight and then somehow manages to fall again into the same trench 20 feet down the line. Sheep have a reputation for a certain lack of intelligence. But a little sleuth work this week yielded an interesting origin to that ugly rumor. It turns out that sheep are actually pretty smart. The reputation for dumbness was promulgated by cattle ranchers because sheep do not behave as cows do. Cows are herded from behind by ranch hands hooting and hollering and cracking their whips. Cows will move forward with that. Sheep respond to such commotion at their rear by just circling out and back, trying to get behind the commotion. But stand in front of a sheep and call them forward, the sheep will follow you wherever you go. You push cows, you lead sheep. A good shepherd knows this and can tend to several hundred in a head of sheep solo just by a distinctive call leading them to green pastures and beside still waters. If you have been to the Holy Land, you will likely have seen, even in these modern times, a shepherd walking with staff in hand or maybe loping along on the back of a donkey, moving across a broad valley unrestrained by the barbed wire fencing so familiar to us in this land. And behind him comes a large flock. It's been this way for centuries, which is why there's so much imagery of sheep in our Bible. And today, here on this fourth Sunday of Easter, commonly known as Good Shepherd Sunday, we are invited once more to consider what the sheep and the shepherd are saying to us. But first, one more detail to share about shepherding. When night falls and the threat of predators awaken for the hunt, shepherds consolidate their flocks into corrals, large groupings known as sheepfolds. They lead them through a narrow gate, an opening in a rock wall that then corrals the sheep for the night. And on top of this wall, they place thistles and thorns so the sheep are prevented from climbing out and to prevent predators from climbing in. And then one shepherd lays down in the opening, the gate, known as the sheep gate. He sleeps there, protecting them. And when morning arrives, all the other shepherds return, and each with their distinctive chirps and whistles, call their particular sheep one by one out the sheep gate and out into the open pasture to go on their way. Each sheep knows their shepherd's unique call and follows. It's really quite remarkable. Thousands of sheep can do this and then disperse into their separate herds. So when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," he's speaking a gentle truth into a fierce conversation with religious leaders who have just chastised him for healing a blind man on the Sabbath. But it's important to know that in John's gospel, when Jesus makes "I am" statements, and he does so seven times, when he makes "I am" statements, he is claiming divine authority, hearkening back to the name attributed to Yahweh, to God in Exodus, "I am who I am." In the verses preceding this passage we just heard read, Jesus makes statements like, "I am the gate for the sheep. I am the one whom they know by my voice." And he also says, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The invitation for us in all of this is to hear Jesus' voice as one with God's voice, speaking truth to us as beloved, as known, as claimed by God. I've been working lately with the daily examine of Ignatian spirituality. Simply put, the invitation is to practice prayerful reflection on one's day, every day, seeking to discover God's presence in the most mundane of moments, and practice gratitude, and to be aware of one's emotions. Emotions, not feelings, but emotions are the energy we give to the voices we hear, and to understand whether they arise from the true self or the false self. Or another way of saying that is discerning whether my emotions arise from the voice of God residing deep within my spirit. Am I able to hear that voice and know it as the source of goodness within me? Often, though, there are a lot of other voices in the mix working to convince me otherwise, working evil, really. Let's call it what it is. Henri Nouwen once said, there are three lies to human identity that fool us into false self emotions. The three lies are, I am what I do, I am what I have, and I am what other people think. I suspect we all fall prey to those lies at points on the journey. Lord knows our culture pressures us into believing them at nearly every turn. And before we know it, our spirits are falling into trenches and traps of considerable danger, getting stuck and in need of a shepherd's caring voice and gentle hand. Saint Ignatius mined the spiritual exercises in order to differentiate what he called the good spirit and bad spirit moving within each of us. Some call this the inherent capacity of all humans have for good and evil. But whatever terms you choose to use, the point is we all have the propensity to listen to both, heeding the voices within and without that nurture and stifle. The spiritual journey is about discerning the difference and following the voice of the true shepherd, speaking your goodness into life. The forces of evil will look to counter that voice at every turn and will do so in the most surreptitious and insidious of ways. So if you sense God's voice leading you into your goodness, you may often also find another voice pushing you or pressuring you or rushing you. The spiritual exercise is to be aware of both voices, to be aware of good and evil in the world, and then be aware of what you internalize. Be aware of which voice is speaking in you, to you. If God's voice is encouraging you, be aware of the voice that discourages you. If God's voice is reassuring you, be aware of the voice that frightens you or puts you down. If God's voice calms you, be aware of the voice that obsesses in you. If God's voice convicts you when you make a wrong turn in life, we call that guilt. Be aware of the voice that condemns you instead. We call that shame. If God's voice enlightens you, be aware of the voice that confuses you. in summary, let God's voice lead you on into your goodness. And be aware of the voice pushing or rushing or pressuring you. Now that may sound easy, but you and I both know it's really quite difficult with all the voices bombarding our spirits at any given moment. But that's why this daily examine can be so effective. The rhythmic practice of reflection and orienting to God's presence and practicing gratitude and being mindful of the emotional energy you bring to it all. But friends, the imprint of relationship with God is seated deeply within your soul, in your very being. Your being, that is the divine verb that has spoken into you and gives you life, gives me life, gives all creation life, the great I am. Listen to that voice. That's the Good Shepherd's voice calling us.